Why is it that you as a parent don't want your kid to do certain things? Because you just don't want to have fun?
That's what they think.
That's what they think. But the reality is, we did it when we were young and we know how bad it is. And we don't want them to make the same dumb, stupid mistakes that we made. Right? We're trying to share with them our wisdom that has come from experience. And I know that it's hard to get through to them sometimes, but Solomon 12 times urges the reader to heed the instruction of parents. And so one source of wisdom is from experience, our own and others. Another source of wisdom, the ultimate source of wisdom, is God. Someone read chapter 2 and verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where did Solomon get his wisdom?
He asked for it from God, and God gave it.
That's right. Well, you remember that story. When he became king, God came to him and said, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Boy, isn't that something? What would you ask for if somebody that you knew had the ability to grant such a request, came to you and said, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you? What would you ask for? Well, Solomon asked for an understanding heart. In response to that, God said, because you've asked for this, I'm going to give you everything else too. Now, that's a loose paraphrase here, but that's what happened. That's where Solomon got his wisdom. He got it from God. We know the rest of the story, how that Solomon's wisdom became proverbial. I mean, it spread throughout the whole world. And people came to test him with riddles. What's the classic example of Solomon's wisdom? Two women came to him. What was it?
They had arguing over a baby.
Yeah. It's my baby. No, it's my baby. What Solomon said?
Yeah, it's one of the guards.
Yeah, cut the baby in half, give each one of them half. And the one said, go ahead. He knew that one wasn't the mama. And so when the mama said, no, don't harm the baby, give it to her, Solomon knew that that was the mother. And the Queen of Sheba came and tested him with riddles and questions. And what'd she end up saying?
The half has not been told.
That's it, the half hasn't been told. So Solomon got wisdom, and Solomon got it from God. So we get it from experience, our own and somebody else's. The ultimate source of it, of course, is God. But let's not minimize prayer. Somebody turn and read James 1, 2 through 8. James 1, 2 through 8. I see y'all have two clocks. And we got one big clock in the back, and I came in Sunday morning, and that clock had stopped. It said 2 o'clock. I pointed that out to my wife. I said, look, the clock stopped. And you notice I don't wear a wristwatch. You know what she did? She immediately took her wristwatch off and gave it to me. I don't know what she's trying to communicate. I'm not quite sure what she meant by that. But anyway, James 1, 2 through 8. So in the face of temptation, if we lack wisdom, ask of God, He'll give it. So prayer has a role in obtaining wisdom. Now obviously, we didn't put into this the obvious, and that's study of the Word of God. That's how God gives wisdom today, and prayer accompanies that. We look into God's Word, and we learn wisdom that God, some wisdom that God gives us by revelation, and prayer has a role in that. But what if somebody rejects wisdom? That's our second question. What if somebody rejects wisdom? You know, experience may be, I've heard people say that experience is the best teacher. They may say it something like, you've learned the most in the College of Hard Knocks or something like that. Experience may be the best teacher, but the tuition in that school is pretty high. Another thing I tell kids sometimes when I have the opportunity, I like to phrase it this way. You know, you can get in more trouble in 10 minutes you can get out of it in a lifetime. And of course, the classic example of that is premarital sex in a pregnancy. Because once you become a mom or daddy, it never ends, does it? It never ends. You're always mama, you're always daddy. And once you get a criminal record, you got it for the rest of your life. It never goes away. You may serve time, you may pay society back, you may be even forgiven, you may even get a pardon, but it's still on your record, it's still there. And the reality is that things like that never go away. And experience may be the best teacher, but the tuition of that school can be extremely high. Let's go back again to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 down through verse 33. I know this is a long reading here, but wisdom calls aloud outside, or literally in the streets. Again, wisdom is personified. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called to you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, when your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. If one rejects the wisdom, God through wisdom, verse 26, will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock you when your terror comes. When terror comes on like a storm, your destruction comes like a whirlwind. Distress and anguish come upon you. What happens if we reject the wisdom? Well, not good things. And as we have suggested, rejection of wisdom puts one in that category of a fool. Proverbs 1:7. Interestingly enough, in the book of Proverbs, that word fool occurs 68 times. 68 times, wise man Solomon says, don't be a fool. Listen to the instruction. Listen and gain wisdom. Okay, comment or question on that? Got about 15 minutes left. I think we can get through the rest of it. The third question, after asking the question, what is it? What's it what is it and what is its value? How do you get it? What will obtaining wisdom do for us? Remember that we said that obtaining wisdom is eminently practical. The wisdom that Solomon wants to share with us in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that God wants to share with us through Solomon's word in the book of Proverbs is eminently practical. I've got six of them. Now, we could stay here all night and into the morning looking at the book of Proverbs at the practical wisdom that's contained in it. We haven't got that much time, so let's look at six of them. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Someone read that for us. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 14.
When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is present unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of darkness to walk into the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose eyes are crooked and they forward in their paths.
Okay. Notice that it will preserve and keep us. It will preserve and keep us. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you.
Again, you learn from other people's experience and sometimes from your own. I learned this the hard way. When I go to a congregation away from home to hold a meeting or even to teach in a vacation Bible school, if somebody comes up to me and says, "What do you think about a brother who would do so and so?" I will not answer that question. Why should I not answer that question?
One thing, you don't know all the circumstances.
That's exactly right. That fellow may have an agenda. I'm not going to get drawn into that. That's happened to me before. But I tell you what, it went downhill from there. So somebody asked me a question. What do you do about a brother that does so-and-so? And I said, my answer to that usually is, why would you ask that question? And they're usually reluctant to give me the reason. So, okay. But I learned that the hard way. Now, somebody may say that's not wise, but I think it is. Don't get yourself in a lot of trouble. Suppose a person is on the way to a social gathering with some brethren. He remembers he didn't brush his teeth. Might have a little bad breath. So he decides to stop and get him some breath mints. He's driving along and there's a bar and stops and pulls into the bar going in looking for breath mints. Is that wise? No, that's not wise, that's kind of dumb. Wisdom will give you discretion
and keep you from doing, and I know the kids say you shouldn't do this, shouldn't say this, but we're adults here. Wisdom will keep you from doing stupid things. Now there's a cure for dumbness, but there's not much cure for stupidity.
That's right.
And wisdom will keep us from doing stupid things. It will, discretion will give us discretion. Let's look at another passage quickly. Proverbs 1:33. Someone read that for us.
But he who listens to me shall live securely, and he is
for the great evil. You know, unfortunately, this day and time, you know, out here in the country, when I was younger, back when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, 1960, 61, my mother's brother owned a farm down in Robinson County, Tennessee. We'd go there on vacation, spend the week, be farmers for a week, you know. But I remember that one time we got ready to go to town, or my uncle got ready to go to town, and there'd be three or four of us boys, you know, there, my cousins and my brothers. If he asked one of us to go to town, that's kind of a treat, because we knew if we got to go to town, we'd probably get a cold drink, and that's pretty good on a hot summer day. He asked me to go with him. Oh, I thought I was big stuff, you know, going to go to town. He had a black and white 57 Plymouth sitting out in the front yard, just drove up in the driveway, parked in the front yard, you know. Well, we got in that Plymouth, took off, and sure enough, he bought me a cold drink. And we were living in Chicago at the time now. And in Chicago, even back then, if you didn't lock something up, it'd walk off. Well, we come back to the house, and he just pulls up in the driveway, turns the key off, and gets out of the car. And I said, "Uncle James, aren't you going to take the key?" And he said, "No, ain't nobody going to mess with it." I said, "Well, he's afraid somebody's going to steal it." He said, "No, nobody mess with it." He said, "Besides, I won't have to go look for the keys. We'll get to go somewhere next time if we don't know where they are." Isn't it a shame things can't be like that anymore? What's the difference? Well, wisdom says, "Hey, lock your car up." Dumbness says, "Leave it unlocked." You go downtown Bowling Green, you got a GPS in your car, or maybe leave your cell phone label and seat.
Wisdom says, take it with you. Wisdom gives us the ability to dwell in safety. You know, we got locks on our doors at home. Wisdom will let you live without fear, because you do what? You don't put yourself in jeopardy foolishly. And so wisdom will give us safety. We'll fear no evil. Number three, Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Someone read that for us.
But my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you.
Length of days and long life. Tell you another story. When we moved to Columbia, Tennessee back in 1986, there was a lady there named Ludie Duggar. She was a member of the congregation where I was preaching. Her grandson, Randall Rummage, was one of our deacons. After we'd been there about 7 or 8 months, Miss Ludie, who was almost 101 years old, passed away. The next Sunday, Randall Rummage came into the church building and said, "You know, grandmother killed herself." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, grandmother killed herself." I said, "What are you talking about, boy?" He said, "Well, she ate biscuits made with lard, she ate bacon, she ate pork chops, maybe homemade sausage. You know, if she'd ate right, she could live to be, an old woman." Well, you know, he was being facetious, obviously. But wisdom with respect to our health will give us long, well, how does it say it? Length of days and peace. And if we deal with our fellow man with wisdom, then we get peace. The last two, we've got about 5-6 minutes here. The last two I want to look at real quickly. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Eminently practical. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I like that one. Wisdom will give us favor and high esteem with God and man. Think about that. Now, you know, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, but you don't want to be around dumb people that do dumb things. Give me people that are wise, and give me people that you know to do the right thing. And Solomon here tells us that wisdom will find favor with God and with high esteem with man because of the way we live our life. And then the last one, someone read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21-26.
A son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be light unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble.
Keep on reading.
When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yes, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
Okay.
Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh.
Okay. Notice what it says there. Because of wisdom, he tells us that they'll be like an ornament around your neck. And when you lie down, you'll not be afraid, but your sleep will be sweet. Part of the wisdom that Solomon wants us to find is the realization God's in control. Now, I don't know what your politics are, but I'm disturbed about some things that are going on in our country right now. You know, we got this constitutional crisis between the Congress and the executive branch. And we got all this argument going on about the health care, whether it's good or bad, I don't know. You know, what did it take? What's it, 2,700 pages long? Take a lawyer to discern what's in it and what isn't in it. And we got all this controversy going on. And, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in our world that if we start thinking about it, it just worries to death. But wisdom tells us who's in control. Well, God's got it under control, so I can lay down at night, fill in my head, sleep in peace. It ain't gonna bother me. I mean, don't misunderstand. I think we ought to be involved, we ought to vote, we ought to be concerned about these things, we ought to participate as best we can. But ultimately, God's got it under control. And wisdom tells us that. And if we're living our life according to that wisdom that God gives, we can lay down at night, pillow our head, and our peace will be sleep sweet. Having that discernment and having that wisdom that Solomon gives us through God's revelation in the book of Proverbs gives us wisdom to avoid the pitfalls of life. Isn't that a great thing? Now let me give you an assignment. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Isn't that right? 31? You know, that fits nicely. How many days of the month are there? 30 or 31. That fits real nicely. One chapter a day, let's say for 6 months. Read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs for the next 6 months. You know what's going to happen when in that time? You'll have wisdom. You'll have wisdom. And all of what wisdom gives you will be yours. And it'll be more valuable than rubies or anything else. And you know, here's the beauty of it. Ain't going to cost you a penny. Ain't going to cost you a penny. Let me close with this one passage here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Let's close our class with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for every manifestation of your love toward us today and every day that we live. We're so thankful, Father, that you've given us your wisdom in the Bible, particularly in these books that we call wisdom literature written by Solomon and others. We pray, Father, that we'll be more diligent in our study of these books, that we might have the wisdom that you want to impart to us, that will protect us, that will give us sweet sleep, that will give us discernment, that will help us avoid the pitfalls of life. Give us that diligence. Give us a resolution to be that diligent as we leave this place tonight, to imbibe these things, to get wisdom, and to share that with others. We pray your continued blessings upon this good church, its elders, its ministers, its leaders, each and every member, and all of these children. We're thankful for this good vacation Bible school. We pray that the fruit, the seed that is sown will bring forth fruit to your name's honor and glory. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.